Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation exists to help people know God, grow together, discover purpose, and make a difference in New Jersey and beyond. Enjoy the talk.
And if you're just joining us, this is be week four. And the beginning, we talked about the power to witness. And we're coming out of the book of Acts. And in the book of Acts, Jesus had resurrected from the dead, just like he said he would. And he was telling the disciples, hey, look, I'm getting ready to leave. And before I leave, I need you to get something. You're going to need something. And he talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. And so in week one, we talked about the promise that God delivered by giving them the Holy Spirit. And so that was that. And you remember it was the 120 in the upper room. And then it went to 3,000 from that moment on. When that happened, Acts chapter 2, we talked about what must we do. Now that this phenomenon happened, people are just freaking out. This is crazy. We hear people speaking in our own language. What is going on here? And Peter stands up boldly and proclaims that this Jesus whom you've crucified, God made him both Lord and Christ. And it said the word was so strong and so convicting that it pierced their heart. And they made this proclamation. What shall we do with what we've just heard? And he told them, it's a fourfold thing. Repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and be added to the body of Christ. And so with that said, they did that. And 3,000 people in one moment were added to the church. In week three, we talked about now that the church was formed, what was it supposed to look like? And the big thing that a lot of people didn't understand, or we didn't realize as we were going through this, was that when they were born again or when they gave their lives to Jesus, pretty much that was a death sentence, if you will, because now they're cut off from their family. And now the church became their family. And so they said that they devoted themselves to the word of God. They devoted themselves to prayer. And it wasn't just prayer in the church or the synagogue, but it was prayer with one another. How many know when things happen, when all of a sudden you're disowned from family or you no longer have resources because you're cut off from the family line, you need one another. And you not just need one another, but you also need their prayers. You covered their prayers. And it said that they broke bread, and it said daily. And fellowship is so important. That word that we used was koinonia, and that's deep fellowship. That's brotherly and sisterly love in such a way that what's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours, and now we're one under the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that took place. And so now the church is growing, it's established, and we're going to now look in Acts chapter 3, if you turn to your Bibles. And we're going to talk a little bit about miracles and signs and wonders. And miracles and signs and wonders was something that Jesus promised to the disciples, that when you share my word, when you proclaim my name, he said that I will be with you. And so how many of you know that Jesus is alive, he's well, and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father in power? And so we may not physically see Jesus, but let me explain something to you. He is alive and miracles are taking place today. The story I have that of miracles was a pastor friend of mine back in Nashville several years ago, went on to a very liberal college there where they didn't believe in that type of stuff. They didn't want that stuff on their campus. And so him being a man of God and a loving person, because love is action, he goes in and he's a weightlifter, former athlete, and he gets into this football program and he just starts lifting weights with the kids, you know, just serving the coaches and serving the players. And at the time, one of their top players on their team had a back injury and he was pretty much out for the season. And so the team was down because they were looking forward to allowing this kid to, you know, really help the team go get some victories. And so how many know if your best player is down, it's not good. You know, you're feeling bad. Our season's thrown away. And so this kid's in the locker room, and our pastor is a man of faith. And he's just saying, hey, I believe in the power of God. And if you let me pray for you, maybe God will do something. Who knows? And so he takes his hands and he lays them on this kid and prays in the name of Jesus, be healed. And you lo and behold, God did heal him. And it shook the team.
the team's freaking out, like, oh my, the best player, he's back. You know, we're victory's ours. You know, they're going crazy, excited. The coaches are going crazy. Then it spills over to the campus. And now people in the campus are like, man, you saw he was messed up. This kid's back was messed up. You saw the x-rays and all the stuff that the doctor said. And now he's out here playing this game. And it's now it moves all the way up to the dean and the chancellors. And they get wind of it. And the dean brings everybody into the room, including the pastor. He says this, not on my campus. You and your God can leave. So how many know you can be doing a good thing and bad things can still happen? And so this morning, when we get into this story about miracles, you're going to look at Peter and John, and they get ready to go and do a miracle. God does a miracle, and all of a sudden, what started out good ended up bad. But God can take the bad and turn it to good. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you this morning for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I pray, God, give your servant wisdom to articulate the word correctly to your people. Lord, use me to minister your word in a way, God, that is relevant. In Jesus' name, amen. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. I'm just going to read a little bit. I like reading from the Bible. Even though you're going to get it on the screen, I like reading from the Bible so you think I'm not lying. You know what I mean? Pastor making up something. Ain't in the Bible. No, it says here in Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1, and it'll be up on the screen. It says, on the day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Now, a crippled man from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going to the temple courts. Verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. But Peter looked straight at him and said to John and John, then Peter said, look at us. The man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Verse 6, it says that then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet, ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him, say all, the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to be sitting begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Verse 11, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. Peter and John going to the gate called Beautiful. It says that it was a time of prayer, and in Jewish culture, they had 3 days times of prayer during the day. The first time was called a Sukkot in the morning, a Minkna in the afternoon, and a Mariv in the evening. And this was the afternoon time. They said that they put this man every day that was lame at the gate called Beautiful. The significance of this gate was that this gate was from a city called Alexandria. And there was a man by the man named of Nicanor on this boat. And on this boat was this gate. And the gate, the man wanted to, on the boat, it was a storm. And the man said, look, take me and the gate and throw us in the sea so that you can go on and loosen the ship, that the ship may be able to make it because of the weight. They throw the man and the gate into the storm. And it says that they survived. And so they claim that this gate is a miracle. And so here every day, this man would lay by this gate and people would walk by. And the reason people would walk by is because that was the hour of prayer, and that they would always give alms to those that were poor or those that were less than. But they were doing it for the wrong reasons. They weren't doing it to really bless this man. They were doing it out of self-righteousness, because they felt in that culture that when you gave to the sick or you gave to the poor, that it was something that would make you closer to God. And so here this man is taking this. This man said that he was 40 years old. So there was no doubt that this man at birth had been this way all his life. All his life. That's the beauty of this. So God is now setting the stage, and this man is strategically placed. How many know in order to get a miracle, you need to be strategically placed? You need to be where you're supposed to be. And this man's laying there. Alms. He couldn't go in because people in that culture believed that if you were sick or if you had some sort of disease or ailment, that you were cursed. So now he can't even go enjoy the presence of God. He has to stay on the outside and beg. But here's Peter and John on their way into the court. And the beauty of this, is that when they saw this man, they didn't just walk by. When they saw this man, they didn't just kind of look at him and say, oh, well, good for you. No, they stopped and said, you know what? Silver and gold I don't have, but what I'm getting ready to give you is something greater. His name is Jesus. And sometimes, people, you got to understand that the thing that we need to give to people, finances and resources and time, sometimes don't get it done. What they need is the author and the finisher of life. They need Jesus. And so my first point I want to make is this, is that when Jesus moved in such a supernatural way that this situation was something was being fulfilled prophetically out of Isaiah 35:6. Because the children of Israel still looking, the Hebrews were still looking, the Jewish people were still looking for the real Messiah. And it said in Isaiah 35, verse 6, and I didn't give this scripture, this is something that came, was that it said that when he shows up and shows himself to you, that they will begin to leap and to praise God when they realize that he's the Christ, that he's the Messiah. This was significant. God showing them that when I encounter you, something supernatural will take place. You'll begin to leap and you'll begin to praise God out of joy. The point I want to make is this. Number one is that God is alive. Jesus is alive, and he's going to leave no doubt. He's going to leave no doubt that he's alive. He's going to make sure that you and I know that we know that we know that Jesus Christ has risen. See, Peter and John, they didn't preach in their own name. No, they said in the name of Jesus. And see, there's power in the name of Jesus. That's why we can't be cavalier with that word. We can't be, you know, nonchalant with that name, because there's such power in it. The dead were raised. Blind eyes open. The supernatural takes place. In 1 Corinthians 15:16, it said that Jesus was raised from the dead. And he appeared to people. The reason he appeared is because he wanted to show people without a shadow of a doubt he's alive. And he's driving home a point here that even though I ascended into the heavens and I'm sitting at the right hand of the Father and I've released my Holy Spirit into the earth now, I'm still alive and my power is still available through my name if you just call upon me. If you just call upon me, alive, miracles. How do you know that Jesus is who he says he is? You know, I remember a story about a man that was playing basketball, and he was a little guy about my size and played a football in the NFL, just like I did. And I remember he's on this court playing with guys that are 6 foot, 7 foot tall, and he's out there playing. And people are like, who's this little guy? Why is he out here playing with us? He needs to go sit down somewhere. He doesn't need to be out here with us. And somebody whispered, hey, that's such and such you from the NFL. He's legit. Man, that ain't him. What are you talking about? You know, they're giving him the business, talking crazy. That ain't him, until he did something. Until he took that basketball and drove right down the lane and dunked the ball on all those men that were 6 foot, 7 foot in height. And everybody just stopped and looked at him as, oh, that is him. And see, that's the same thing with Jesus. When Jesus does a miracle, in his name. Oh, that is him. No doubt. It is him. And sometimes we get caught up in things where we forget that Jesus already told the disciples that when I ascend and when I leave, that I'm going to give you power to do exactly what I've done. I'm going to use you just like I was used by the Father to do great things. The Bible says in Mark 16, 15 through 18, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Say all the world. To preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Verse 17, and this is what we're talking about today. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. This is Jesus telling the disciples, look, man, this is what's getting ready to happen. And now prophecy is being fulfilled. The Great Commission is being fulfilled. Peter slowing everybody down. Wait, wait, wait. This ain't about me. It's about him. I pray and God heals. And so many times, men and women, we are afraid to take a step and put the name of Jesus on the line. But let me tell you, Jesus loves it when we put his name on the line. Jesus likes to show up in situations that are difficult and impossible to let you and I know that he's real. So when you're praying secretly, or you're crying out, or you're asking God to move on your behalf, and you're praying in the name of Jesus, he's obligated to show up in such a way that he leaves no doubt that it was him, and he deserves all the praise, glory, and honor for it. The definition of a miracle, it says that it's something surprising or a welcome event that is not explicable by nature or scientific laws. And there's nowhere, therefore, considered to be, it has to be a work of a divine agency. Miracle. You know, we throw that word around a lot, don't we? It's a miracle. You know, you remember when Odell Beckham made that catch? It's a miracle. Everybody went crazy. That one-handed catch in the end zone. Monday Night Football, people were going crazy until everybody started doing it. You saw little kids doing the Odell. That's what they call it. The kids in Pee Wee started doing it. High school started doing it. All these things, they started doing it. It's a miracle. No, a miracle is rare. A miracle is something that rarely can be duplicated. A miracle is something that is so spectacular and so powerful that it causes people to stop and say, I've never seen that before. I have to stop and marvel. Where did that come from? How did that happen? It must be something that's divine. Divine. How many need a miracle this morning? Miracles are hard to duplicate. Miracles are hard to copy. That word miracle, like I said, we throw it around just like we throw it around the word love. Love this. I love my cat. I love my dog. I love Pete's. I love this. You love all these things. But when there's true love, that agape love, that love that brings you back to Jesus. See, Jesus did miracles because he loved people. He did miracles because he wanted to draw people to him, not to them. No, to him. I love you so much that I want to do something so significant and so powerful that it not only gets your attention, but it's going to get the attentions of those around you. Around you. It's going to draw the right attention. Signs and wonders. But it has to be a name that only you can stand on. See, the Bible says in John 14, 14, and this is my second point, you have to trust in the name of Jesus and you have to trust in his word. You have to trust in the name of Jesus and you have to trust in his word. The Bible says in John 14, 14, if you ask anything in my name, he said he'll do it. In my name. Do you believe in that name this morning? Do you believe that the name of Jesus has the power to turn circumstances and situations around in your life in such a way that it's undeniable. See, people always come to me and they say, Pastor, if God is real, then show me a miracle. I'll tell you what a miracle is. A miracle is a changed life. It's somebody that was living one way and everybody knew that's how they lived. But then all of a sudden, Jesus enters their life and no longer do they act the way they used to act, do the things they used to do. They went to the classes, they went to the shows, they took this, they took that, and it still couldn't work. But when they chose Jesus, their life changed. That's a miracle. Because whatever Jesus does, nothing can be undone. When Jesus changes your life or my life, something happens. It's called a miracle. Only God can change you and I from the inside out. We begin to hate what he hates and love what he loves. All of a sudden, we're drawn to things that normally we wouldn't be drawn to. Helping people, loving people, going places we normally wouldn't go. Why? Because of Christ in us, in his name. It says this in 1 Corinthians 2:4. It says, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. See, there's a lot of articulate people out there. There are a lot of people that can say things to get you revved up and get you excited. But there's only one person that can back up what he says, and that's Jesus. He says, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power. Not only did Paul preach, not only did Peter preach, not only did the apostles preach, but there was the backing of the word of God with signs and wonders and power. There's power in the name of Jesus. I remember I was a young campus minister. And I was on this college campus and I was in this dorm room and this young man and I were getting into a heated debate about whose God is the real God. He said, Pastor, I grew up and my mother was a Christian. My grandmother was a Christian, but my father was a Muslim. And I grew up confused. And even to this day, as I sit in this dorm, I still don't know who the real God is. Now it's late at night. I'm tired. I want to go home. I don't have time to debate. I don't have time to take him through Genesis and bring him all the way to Revelations. You know what I said? Jesus, help me. Because I don't know what to tell this young man, because it's going to take a lot to untie these knots, because he's seen a lot and heard a lot and been around a lot. And I don't have the time right now to help him. But you do. And so I'm asking you to give me something to let this man know that you're for real. And so I took my hands and by the grace of God and I laid them on him and I prayed. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I'm asking you that you'd bring a deep revelation to this man that you are the true one and only living God. And when I was praying for him, I got this impression. God gave me something about this young man that only God knew. I'm looking at him and I got this little vision of him and I began to tell him what God was showing me about his life. I said, I see you as a young boy and you're in a neighborhood and you're hiding behind the car and bullets are flying over your head. And you're saying to God, if I get out of this, something, I'll do something for you. But get me out of this situation because I don't belong here. He looked up at me. He says, only God knew that. I was a young boy in a gang violence behind the car hiding for my life. I know that that's God. He's real. Signs and wonders. I'm here to tell you this morning, those same signs and wonders are available for you and I today. Miracles. That man began to leap and to praise God. People knew without a shadow of a doubt that that man had been healed by the Most High. But remember, I said this, you can be doing good and bad can come to you. They weren't too happy that this man was leaping and jumping. The onlookers were, but the Pharisees and the Sadducees weren't. And the quickest way to shut down a miracle is to begin to deny the God that did the miracle. And that's exactly what they did. They said, you know what? We have to shut this man up because he's speaking in the name of Jesus, whom we don't want to talk about. Bring them here. Let's beat them. Let's shut them up. Let's keep them from doing what they need to do. And that's what we're facing today, is people don't want us talking about Jesus. You can talk about anything else, but do not bring the name of Jesus. I was at an event the other day with a legendary baseball player here in Hanover, and he'd been asking me to come hear him speak about the drugs and the opiate epidemic that is plaguing our young people here in our community. See, I'm a community man. I'm not one to sit behind the pulpit. No, I want to get into the highways and the byways of our community and hear what's going on. See, I want to take what God has given me, the grace to be able to love people, meet them where they are, and to help them. And how can I get behind what you're doing? And these mothers had all their babies. And this wasn't a bad community. This was an affluent community. And they packed this auditorium out just to hear this legendary man speak. Four-time World Series champion who had gone through hell in his life through drugs and alcohol and addiction. But his wife didn't give up on him. Snatched him out of the crack house and said, "You're going to serve God." God invaded his life. And now he's going all over the world and the country telling people about drugs and alcohol and do not play with this because this is not a game. And I'm sitting there listening to this and I can't believe that this man is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ unashamedly in a public school, full of faith, fear, no doubt, no unbelief. And kids are just sitting there just blown away by it. And at the end of the night, they weren't running up there to get an autograph. They're coming up saying, "Thank you for speaking truth to us. Thank you for telling my kids that don't start with this nonsense. You're a miracle. God spared you. He can spare my child as well. He can spare this community as well." Police officers running up. "Man, thank you, because we don't know what to do." A miracle. Signs and wonders. We can't be afraid to speak the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can't be afraid to stand up for what's right. These men stood up, man, but you know what? Hell came with it. Hell came with it. My last point I want to make is this. Number three, it says take advantage of the opportunity. Because as these men were speaking and the onlookers and they were watching, what is going on? What is this? They didn't stop with just the miracle. No, they took advantage of it and said, "Let me tell you who did the miracle." And they began to preach about Jesus. And that's the significance of what you and I have to do. When God gives you a moment to share the good news, people have been waiting for you to say something, to open your mouth, and to tell them about the goodness of Jesus Christ. You have to be ready to seize the moment. And these men did. It said that they spoke in such a way that 2,000 people were added to the church that day. 2,000. If they can reach 2,000, we can at least reach one. They were powerful in what they did. Take advantage of the opportunity. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness." It says that he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. God is patient. He creates moments. He creates circumstances. He does miracles. He does things to get our attention and our people's co-workers and family members and friends' attention. But will you and I be ready to tell them what is going on? Why are these things happening? These miracles, these signs, these wonders. Tell them about Jesus. It's so important. You know, I coached this peewee football team. Praise Jesus. We're 2-2. Got beat last night. Went up to Wharton. They killed us, Bob. They just smashed us. And, you know, I'm out there, and I'm watching these kids play. And I see how down they get on themselves. You know, they just get down on themselves. "Man, coach, I did that." And all I'm wanting them to do, win or lose, is I just want you to fight. I just don't want you to quit. I don't want you to give up. Because if you continue to press in and not quit and give up, anything can happen. Even though we didn't win, they still fought. They didn't quit. And I hear the Holy Spirit speaking to some of you today. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't give up. And don't stop fighting. Because your miracle is on the way. Now, there may be obstacles. There may be people telling you that this isn't real, that this is not real, this is not God or whatever. But the Bible says this clearly. It says in Romans 12, 14 and 21, and this is it. It says to bless those who curse you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with your people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but let the room leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with the word. What I'm trying to drive home to you this morning is this. It's not about us. It's about him. And there's going to be obstacles along the way that's going to keep you and I from experiencing those signs and wonders. But I tell you this, if you begin to mark each time God has shown up in your life, it's going to give you the strength to keep fighting and to keep reaching. To keep fighting and to keep reaching and pulling people into the kingdom, just like these men did. You know, Peter and John took a hit for the team. And just like I said, 2,000 people were added to the church because of it. In this church here, there are people God wants to add through your life. There's some things God wants to do through you and I. That's why I'm so excited about this Trunk or Treat. Because Trunk or Treat is not for this church, it's for the community. When we partner with the Parsippany Police Department, we're partnering with our community. And what we're saying is this, let's go out and do something and believe God for miracles. What's a miracle? It's not just seeing someone raised from the dead or somebody leaping. No, a miracle is a changed life. Let's go out as a church the Saturday, the week before Halloween, and let's go into this community and let's pass out flyers and let's be a light. And let's hope that we don't get flogged and beaten just like Peter and John. But if we do, oh, well, did somebody get added to the church? A miracle, signs and wonders. It's not about us. When those miracles come, it's about him. When they come, push people back to Jesus. And let them know that it was the God of heaven and earth that healed you, that did that miracle. And let their lives be changed because of it. Can we stand to our feet and let's pray.
Thanks for joining us at Every Nation New Jersey, where our vision is to partner with God and people to transform the world one life at a time.